turn again, please, to that passage of Scripture we read earlier, to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 55. And with God's Word open before us, let us just unite together in a brief word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us this evening, already in this gathering. We thank Thee for the privilege of being able to sing the praises of Christ our Savior, to sing of Thy love and Thy grace even in salvation. We thank Thee for Thy Word, that it is forever settled in heaven, and that Thy Word is truth. And Lord, as we come now to consider Thy Word, open up every heart, even like Lydia's of old, to Thy Word, to Thy truth. O Lord, hide man behind the cross tonight. Exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of Thy Word tonight. Give help by Thy Holy Spirit to this end. And Lord, do every heart good as Thou would see our particular need. Strengthen and bless Your people. For any with us tonight out of Christ, oh, may they leave this meeting tonight in Christ, and knowing Christ as Savior, pour out Thy Spirit to this end. And even, Lord, visit our gathering tonight with Thy so great salvation. Help us now, we pray, the remaining part of this meeting. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, the text of Scripture that we want to look at tonight with you in this gospel meeting is the words of verse number 6 and verse number 7 of Isaiah chapter number 55. I read those verses with you again. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Now, mankind has many false beliefs about God's salvation and about how man can be saved from his sin and be right with God. Indeed, the outcome of this is that multitudes have perished in their sin down throughout the ages of time, and also multitudes today still continue to perish in their sin and spend eternity in a lost sinner's hell. You know, if a person is to have a right understanding of God's salvation, then they must turn away from what man says, and they must turn away their ears from what man thinks. And instead, they must turn to the living Word of the living God, the Bible itself. You see, the Holy Scriptures are the final authority of God on the matter of God's so great salvation. Yes, in coming to the Scriptures regarding this matter, man is one who must come with a submissive spirit or a yielded heart. Yes, with reverence, he must listen to what God has to say to him about this vital matter that concerns his soul. Yes, throughout the entire Bible, God is one who has much to say to man about his way of salvation. And here in our text tonight in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7, we have one of God's great statements in the Old Testament regarding this vital matter of His salvation. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." In these two verses here before us, God's prophet Isaiah speaking, and he gives a very clear and a very full explanation about God's salvation. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, was really known to us as the evangelical prophet, though he lived and ministered some 700 years before the birth of Christ, to the incarnation of Christ. He has much to say about Christ. He has much to say about God's so great salvation. And he has much to say about man's own personal responsibility before God to accept God's way of salvation for him. As we look then at these words before us tonight here in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Dear people, tonight there are four important things I want to set before you regarding God's so great salvation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, oh, I pray that God will speak to your heart, that your heart might be softened to the gospel of Christ, and that even tonight you would close in with God's offer of salvation and put your faith and trust in the Lord alone for salvation. Notice, first of all, with me here in this text, notice what every sinner must forsake if he is to have God's salvation. What every sinner must forsake if he is to have God's salvation. You look at how verse 7 of the chapter begins. It says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Here those words speak of the way of man, the way of the ungodly, speaks of the thoughts of the ungodly. And you know, if man is to receive God's salvation, he must forsake his own false ways, his own false thoughts about salvation. You look at what God says in the very next verse, verse 8, about man, and this he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, as saith the Lord." You see, God's way of salvation is a way that is completely opposite, completely different from what man says and what man thinks about salvation. You know, speaking about the sinful heart of man, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And my, it is indeed because of this that man has many false ideas and false and foolish notions about salvation, about how he can get to heaven, how he can know God, and how he can have peace with God and be right with God. People, if you and I were to go down into the center of Enniskillen town tomorrow morning, we were to stop the first 10 people that we meet walking along the street. And if you and I were to ask them, "Tell me, what does it mean to be saved? Tell me, can you explain to me the way of God's salvation?" I'm sure the outcome would be that of many different kinds of answers from the people that we would ask that question. And my, this is because of the sinful heart of man. Because of the depravity of the human heart. And because of that, yes, our world tonight abounds with many false religions. Our world tonight abounds with many false and foolish ways of salvation that are of man's own thinking and man's own devising. Oh, dear friends, in our meeting tonight, let me say this to be saved. You and I, yes, we must forsake our own thinking. We must forsake our own ways, our own ideas about salvation. Yes, we must heed what our text says here at the beginning of verse 7. When it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." Yes, we must forsake every false scheme of self and of man's devising regarding salvation. What does this mean for you and I as individuals? Friends, this means, yes, us realizing that salvation is not found in any of our own self-righteousness as people before God. There is no salvation in self or in our own self-righteousness. Turn over a little bit in our Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 64. Just over a few chapters, and look with me at what is said in verse number 6 there of the chapter 64 of Isaiah. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." There we're told that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And for you and I to forsake our own ways and our own thinking about salvation, we must come to realize that salvation is not found in self. It's not found in our own self-righteousness. Also, if we are to forsake our own thoughts and ways that are foolish about salvation, we must also realize that we do not inherit salvation because of family ties or because of family connections or because of flesh and blood. You listen to the words of John as he speaks of those who were saved in John's Gospel, chapter 1. In verse 13, he says, which were born, he says, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And there John makes it very clear to us that a person is not saved by family ties or by family connections. That is something you and I must ever realize and understand. We're not saved by flesh and blood, by family connections and ties with others and life. Also, if we are to forsake our own ways and thinking about salvation, we must also realize that salvation is not something that we earn by works or rites or by ceremonies of man or ceremonies of the church. No. You think of what Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 8, that great statement about salvation. He says there, for by grace are you saved. Grace is the free, unmerited favor of God. Salvation is all of grace. We do not earn salvation. No one can earn salvation. God saves us by His grace. He saves us in spite of ourselves, in spite of what we are before Him as lost, guilty, hell-deserving sinners before Almighty God. Paul could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Also, if we are to forsake our own ways and thinking about salvation, our text also means a realization that we cannot buy salvation by money, by wealth, or by earth's riches. You notice what the Lord says there at the end of verse 1 of the chapter. He tells us there that salvation, He says, is without money. It is without price. Yes, dear people, if you and I, yes, if we are to forsake our own ways and thinking about salvation, we must also realize and understand that salvation is not through any other son or through any other daughter of Adam's fallen, sinful race. You think tonight of the teaching of Roman Catholicism. It teaches that people can have merit with God through the Virgin Mary. You think tonight of the religion of Islam, or the Muslim feels that they have acceptance with God through Muhammad. You think of the false religion, the false cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses. They feel that somehow they have merit with God through to Charles Russell. Well, there's no one in this world, no sinful son of Adam, no sinful daughter of Adam that can save another sinner from sin. My speaking of all mankind, the Bible says this, for there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, the Bible, the Word of God, makes it very clear that no fallen sinner can save another fallen sinner. Yes, friend, in our meeting tonight, you and I, we must forsake every false way of self, every false way of man regarding salvation. And if we are to know and receive God's salvation, we must turn to God. Turn to His Word and listen to His Word and heed the message of the Bible. It says here, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Here we see, yes, the things that man must forsake if he is to have God's salvation. Friend, tonight in the meeting, these are the things that you must forsake. The false thoughts and thinking of man regarding salvation. If you are to have God's salvation, you must set these false thoughts and ideas and teachings of men to the one side. Yes, we see here what the sinner must forsake if he is to have God's salvation. But secondly, I want you also to note here how every sinner must turn to the Lord if he is to experience salvation. You look at what is said further on down, verse 7 of Isaiah 55. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And notice these words, and let him, notice it, return unto the Lord. And the Lord spoken of here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This is He whom God the Father speaks of earlier on in the chapter in verse 4. When He speaks there of the Lord Jesus and says, behold, I have given Him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Am I to receive God's salvation, man, whoever he is, must turn by faith to God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look further on down there, verse 7, our text this evening, there you see that the Lord Jesus Christ is further described as our God. For it says, of man, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And notice these words, and to our God. And that reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ was God's Son, that he was God manifest in the flesh, that he is the eternal Son of God. You remember when Christ came into the world, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And being God incarnate, Christ is one who is sinless. Yes, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ was all pleasing to God the Father. And by the shedding of his own blood, by his atoning death upon the cross of Calvary, the demands of God's law and justice were fully met. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him, and that speaks of the very fact that by the death of the sinless Son of God, our sin bearer, and God's justice and law was satisfied. And by the shedding of Christ's own precious blood upon the cross of Calvary, when he suffered and when he bled and died, a way of salvation was made for sinners less like you and I, even in this meeting tonight. A way was made whereby we can have our sins forgiven, sure of eternal life in heaven and right with God. It's all through Christ, the Son of God, through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. That's how sinful man receives and obtains God's salvation. Turning your Bible over to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. And you'll see this here as the apostle writes to us about Christ and what he has accomplished by his death upon the cross, by the shedding of his blood. Look with me there at verses 11 and 12 and 14 of Hebrews chapter number 9. It says, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Notice it, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Go on down to verse 22 and verse 26 of the same chapter. Notice again what it says, the reference to the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ. It says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The word remission means forgiveness. Verse number 26, at the end of that verse, it speaks of Christ and says, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared. Notice it, to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself, by the blood shedding of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary, sin is dealt with and sin is put away. Here we see that God's salvation is all through the blood. It's all through the Son of God who suffered and bled and died upon Calvary's cross. Oh, dear friend, tonight in our meeting, can I say that God's way of salvation is by the blood of Christ? And it is by the blood of Christ alone. The Bible says it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. That word atonement means a covering for the sin-sick soul of man. And it is by the blood of Christ that sins are forgiven and that a person can enter into God's so great salvation. There is no other way apart from Christ and the blood and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. Friend, with us tonight, let me say this to be saved. As a repentant sinner, you must come to the Lord and confess your sins to the Lord, and by faith alone you must trust in Christ. Trust in the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only way of salvation, by His blood, by His death, by His sacrifice upon the cross. There is no other way of salvation apart from Him. The hymn writer says, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You know, if a person is to be saved from a sinking ship, they must get into the lifeboat. And friend, to be saved from your sin and all its ruin, yes, you must climb into the lifeboat of God's salvation. That way is by you putting your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ and in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Oh, friend, if you have not already done so, even tonight, may you come to Christ and may you trust Him. For the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Christ Himself was very clear about this in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A friend at our meeting tonight to be saved, you must turn to the Lord Jesus. Put your faith and trust in Him. Rest and rely alone and entirely upon the sacrifice, the blood shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For the Bible says, without shedding of blood is no remission. Yes, we see what the sinner must turn away from if he is to have God's salvation. We see how the sinner must turn to the Lord if he is to have salvation. But notice something else from our text tonight. We see what the sinner receives whenever he turns to the Lord for salvation. If you look at the final words there of verse number 7, it says, let him return unto the Lord. And notice what it says about the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will, notice it, abundantly pardon. What words those are. The person who turns to the Lord, who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, no matter who they are, no matter what their background is, that person, their experiences, you have it there in the text, God's mercy. That person experiences abundant pardon from God for all their sins. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And to know God's pardon means peace with God. It means a right relationship with God. It means eternal life in God's heaven. You notice earlier on in the chapter how the Lord gives a wonderful invitation to sinners, whoever they are, to come to Him. Look at verse 3 of the chapter. He says, incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Notice it, even that the sure mercies of David. Here you see the mercy of the Lord to those who come to Christ, who trust in Christ and rest upon Christ alone for salvation. What mercy there is to be had through knowing and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. You look again at verse number 7 there. Notice the certainty of this pardon. Says of the Lord there, it says, He will pardon. This is what it says about the Lord. And dealing with the soul, the sinner that comes to Him for salvation. My, it says of the Lord, He will pardon. The certainty of this pardon. And my, the forgiveness that a person finds by faith in Christ alone, it's sure. It is certain. Dear friend, tonight, if you come by faith to Christ and you trust in Him alone for salvation, God, yes, will forgive your sin. He will forgive all your sin. This is something that is sure, something that is certain. Our text says of the Lord, He will pardon. Praise God, when you trust Christ as Savior, you'll be able to testify, be able to say with the psalmist David of old, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Oh, surely this is why the hymn writer could say of Christ, no room for doubt, no room for fears when to my view the cross appears. My joyful song shall ever be, He took my place and died for me. Dear friend, when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will pardon your sins. That's the promise of God. And you see the fullness here of this pardon, for it says, He will abundantly pardon. He will pardon all your sins. All your iniquities will be blotted out and be pardoned by God. Nothing left unpardoned. Nothing left unforgiven by God. No. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. You turn back a little bit in your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter number 38, just to back a few chapters in the same book, Isaiah chapter 38. And you go down to verse number 17. And here you have the testimony of King Hezekiah. He was a saved man. He had forsaken the false ways of man's for salvation. He had turned to the Lord. He had trusted the Lord. And look at what he says of the mercy of the Lord to him. In the latter part there of verse 17 of Isaiah chapter 38, he says to the Lord, But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, saved from hell he was. And he says, For thou hast cast, notice it, all my sins behind thy back. He was rejoicing. And the forgiveness of all of his sins blotted out, as it were, cast behind the back of God, never to be seen against him anymore. Dear friend, this is what you receive when you trust in the Lord. He pardons your sin. He gives you an abundant pardon. He lavishes upon you his mercy. And that means you have peace with God. You're saved from going down into hell. And you're made sure of heaven. You're made sure of glory. The end of verse number 3 there talks about the everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David. That all points us to heaven, to glory, to everlasting life. You think of what the Lord says in John's Gospel chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, at the end of that same chapter in verse 36, it says, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's the promise of God. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God to sinners who come to Christ, who trust him for salvation. Friend, in our meeting tonight, unsaved, I counsel you from this pulpit, in light of God's word tonight, in light of God's mercy, in light of God's abundant pardon to sinners who come to Christ for salvation, do not stay away from Christ any longer. Refuse him no longer, no. For to turn away from Christ the Savior is to forsake and to turn your back upon God's mercy, is to forsake and turn your back upon God's abundant pardon. There's many people in our land, in this community, religious people, good, upright people in many ways, people who believe in God, who believe in heaven, believe in hell, and to a degree have a respect for the Word of God and the reverence for the things of God. Yet sadly, many think it's by themselves they merit favor with God, and they leave the Lord Jesus Christ out of the whole scheme and plan of their salvation and their thinking. The Word of God makes it very clear to you now, there's no salvation, there's no pardon, there's no mercy, saving mercy from God, apart from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through trusting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your sin is or your sin may have been, praise God if you come to Christ. Confessing your sin to the Lord, turning away from every false belief and notion of God or of man, you will know God's abundant pardon. You will know God's saving mercy. And you will know God's saving grace. Notice one final thought just in connection with our text tonight. Notice the time when the sinner must turn to the Lord for salvation. Look at verse number 6 of the chapter. It says, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Friend, that means you must seek the Lord for salvation while the Lord is near. While the Lord is to be found. And friend, whether your life be long or short, you're not to wait until your deathbed to seek Christ for salvation. Yes, the Lord is near when the gospel is faithfully preached to your soul. For the Lord says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he says, there am I in the midst of them. And if you're still not saved, then now is the time for you to seek the Lord for salvation. The Bible says, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. It says, today if you'll hear his voice, harden not your heart. Friend, if death comes, it will be too late. Too late for you to be saved. Also, God's Holy Spirit may stop striving. Stop speaking to your heart. For God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That is why salvation is to be sought now. That is why God says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. It's a solemn thing when God ceases to speak. And when God gives a person over to their sin and up to their sin, there's no hope, there's no mercy for them. Turn with your Bible back to Proverbs chapter number 1, and you'll see this for yourself from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter number 1. Look with me there at the verse number 28 of the chapter. Notice what the Lord says about such who turn away from his way of salvation. He says, they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me early, but they shall not find me. That's a warning from God. Salvation is not a matter to be trifled with. When God speaks, dear friend, unsaved, you should listen. When God speaks about your need of salvation, you should hearken. You should come to Christ and you should trust the Lord and call upon the Lord. The Lord says, come now. Let us reason together. You know, there was once a ship in trouble at sea. Another ship came to rescue the passengers, but the captain and the ship in trouble said they would wait until the morning. And sadly, that night, that ship sank with all on board. And the captain wasted his opportunity for rescue. He wasted his time. He waited until it was too late. Friend, unsaved tonight, be wise even now tonight. Heed that the message of our text that says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's here. Don't put off salvation to tomorrow, for tomorrow for you may never come. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You think of what the Lord said to Zacchaeus. He says, Zacchaeus, make haste. Didn't say to Zacchaeus, delay, or put off your salvation to another time or another occasion. And Zacchaeus made haste. He listened to the Lord. And he received the Lord joyfully. And Christ said to him, today is salvation. Come to thy house. Friend, follow the example of Zacchaeus. Heed the message of the Word of God tonight. And close in with Christ and trust him as your own and personal Savior. We're going to close our